The opinions expressed in Outwit, Outplay, Outyap are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listeners. My name is Malik Fortier.
And I'm Andrew Hill.
And welcome to the third real episode of Outwit,
Outplay,
Outyap.
Today we're going to go through episode 3 of Survivor. We'll have to first go back to the beginning. We've got Vula coming back from tribal, and Mary knows she's on the bottom.
She's all the way at the end of the 5 stages of grief. She's just at acceptance at this point.
She has fully accepted her fate. She's not giving up, and we get to see the interactions between Cedric and Mary and Justin and whatnot, just interacting based on getting Kevin voted out, which she didn't even know about.
And then also we see the other woman left on Vula, Say, who, you know, survived the vote, played an idol even though she didn't have to, and she's kind of got this weird feeling, you know, that Say paranoia is coming back in. It's Say asking herself, am I really as close with Justin and Cedric as I thought I was?
We're seeing her start to, like, freak out because she didn't know that there was a boys thing going on. They aren't as close as they thought they were in the first place, and it's scary.
Yeah, she kind of feels left in the dark, and, you know, she is a little weary now of Cedric, which, you know, this relationship will come into play later in the episode.
Right.
Next up, we go over to Siva. You know, it's usually the Kumbaya tribe season 48, but we have a little bit of a social faux pas, a little awkward moment with Kyle and David.
David had a very vulnerable moment in the episode where he talked about his home life and how money's tight. He gets really vulnerable saying how doing well means everything to him. And unfortunately, it's made a little bit funny by the fact that Kyle was trying to match David's energy. He was told that David lives in a trailer park, and he was like, oh,
sick.
Awesome!
Awesome!
Which
made
David a little uncomfortable.
No, it's really interesting. Didn't he say something along the lines of, oh, if I lose Survivor, my girlfriend's going to leave me?
Yeah, and that was like a very... I feel like we haven't seen someone so like vulnerable like that in a long time about like what's going to happen after Survivor. We don't hear much of that often.
Like, it goes beyond the money.
Right, this is such an important, like, integral moment to him where it's like make or break.
Reading the edgic, I can see now some upside for David, where maybe in the first couple episodes I thought of him as, you know, maybe not the sharpest tool in the shed. I mean, that still might be the case, but I think he has, like, you know, some personal appeal to him now, and I think we're going to be, you know, seeing that going forward in the show.
Yeah, I think you could relate it to someone like Ethan or someone like Fabio,
yeah,
who in their seasons, they were like these goofy characters. They're like big theatrical people. But at the same time, they had their vulnerable moments that made them feel human. And even if they weren't super connected to the game, you could tell why they won, because they were so like down to earth as like real people.
We hop over to Loggy, a little banter between the California Girls Alliance. You know, their living conditions are suboptimal, but they're still finding the bright side. They're still finding time to, you know, joke around and have a good time. Because it's, you know, it's a competition for $1 million, but it's still a game and you got to have fun out there.
But then later on, we get to see a very human moment from Joe as well, when he talks about his experience as a fire captain and how he wanted to make this huge bonfire for the group so that they can boost tribe morale, hopefully be able to make it to the merge together where they can have their feast.
We see Eva make a bracelet for Joe as a little bit of a memento, you know, something he could give to his kids. And Thomas kind of is, you know,
he's a villainous guy.
He's a villainous guy, and he looks at that, and he's like, come on. And he kind of looks at Shaheen, and Shaheen looks back, and they're kind of holding back laughter. One thing I do want to note from this scene is it's portrayed as like a bonding moment for Loggy, but there's 5 people in that scene. Star is not present for that bonfire.
I did not notice that, but that is actually really in, like, crazy to think about. Like, Star was in the prior scenes leading up to that. Like, you could see her.
In the background, did you know.
Do you think she didn't want to be there or that she wasn't invited?
I don't know. I think maybe, you know, I'm seeing both from her online presence and from the show that there was some disharmony at Loggy, and I'm guessing, you know, whether it was she wasn't invited or she didn't feel like going, it's crazy to look at, but it's not surprising to me. And then we get a little bit more of, you know, at Vula that Mary and Say cat and mouse game with Mary running around and Say following her and telling Cedric to babysit her. The last bit of content we get from Siva before the challenge, we see Kyle and Mitch going out on a boat, and Mitch is proposing to Kyle that they make a separate core four. I'm not sure if he's aware that there's already a four-person alliance, but he pitches to Kyle. And so Kyle is kind of talking in confessional about how he could play both sides of this and how he has the alliance with David, Chrissy, and Camilla, but also with David, Charity, and Mitch. So he's got all those doors he can open and close at his will.
Kyle has a lot of openings for him. He's got many directions he can go, but he's got to make a decision soon. You're either choosing one majority or the other, and you have to figure out which one would benefit you the most, or like which one wouldn't betray you the soonest.
Exactly.
And we see one more moment before the challenge where Eva and Star, for the first time, got to interact and talk strategy. They were, like, trying to pretend like they could, but it wasn't working. It wasn't clicking. And Eva mentions how maybe we don't need two puzzlers, which would exclude Thomas and Bianca, which wasn't her real plan. She just wants Star to feel secure. But Star takes this back to Thomas and Bianca, who aren't the biggest fan of hearing this. And Thomas still has a lot of options. He has his California girls, and he now has an alliance between him, Bianca, and Star. He, you know, he can make a choice. Either he can go for Star and eliminate that idol, or he could go for Eva and cut off that dynamic between Joe and Eva so that he can have Joe and the California girls for himself. Now we'll take it over to the challenge, which was a doozy to watch.
I would not want to be one of those blindfolded people. So, you know, it's your typical caller and blindfolded people puzzle. A group of three players with blindfolds are led by their caller, and you know they had to go collect keys that led eventually to a puzzle. Loggy had Joe just like running around like he knew it, like the back of his hand.
It was really impressive because Joe just bolted to the first immediately, didn't hit a single thing. He was basically sprinting towards it.
David for Siva just taking hits for the team like no tomorrow. Like, he said he wants to start a family. I don't know if he's going to be able to start a family. He was getting some low blows from the challenge.
It was honestly hard to watch. It was like a car crash. Like, I couldn't look away, but it was tough. And I don't even know which one I would want to be, because, like, I don't think I have the gravitas in my voice to be able to be a caller, but I would hate being a blindfolded. Like, I could not do it.
I'd be too scared. I would, like, injure myself.
It's brutal. As we go through the challenge, as per usual, Loggy takes it home pretty handedly in first place. And yeah, we see Siva get second place as usual. Mm-hmm. And Vula, of course, lost the challenge for a third time in a row.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp. It was incredibly unfortunate. We are going from 4-3 on one tribe. The other tribes have full six players. But before we get to that, they had to choose one person from each tribe to go on a journey.
This journey might be, I think, the worst of them all. I think
it's like the apex of bad journeys. I was like getting upset watching it.
We thought risking your vote was bad before. This is literally risking your vote on a dice roll, essentially. I would want to opt out.
I have a lot of thoughts. I, for one, hate that they could not choose to not play, especially because they were forced to go on the journey by the Loggy tribe. And secondly, it feels like such a boring game. Like, they didn't even try with this one. We saw both Bianca and Justin lose their votes, which it was really unfortunate. But we do see that Camilla does get lucky. She stays on top, and she got an extra vote. Not the best advantage ever, but it's useful. And she goes back. She is open with her tribe, tells them all that she got her extra vote. Both Bianca and Justin, neither of them tell their full tribe about losing their vote. Bianca does tell Thomas, though.
Interesting to note, once again, villain Thomas doesn't even tell his number one that he has an advantage, even when she comes clean to him that she lost the advantage.
Right. We see that Justin makes up an absurd lie.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really funny and wild that no one, like, called him out on it.
So many inconsistencies. So many going back on the fact and then making something new. I would have called him out immediately, but he somehow seems to get away with it.
Yeah, but as they get back to camp, it seems clear that Mary is done for. She has been playing up this bit where she's pretending to have an advantage, and she's been really making Say paranoid, purposely, like, making her as paranoid as possible to hope that she changes her vote.
She interrogates Mary, and Mary's just feeding her nothing.
She just keeps gaslighting her. She's gatekeeping all her information.
And she's girl bossing.
Absolutely. Know? They have such a mutual respect for each other, but a mutual hatred for each other. And it's great to watch. So we'll start by saying that there were three votes available at this tribal.
Because Justin lost his vote.
Justin lost his vote. And we see that, in theory, it would be a 2-1 on Mary. Mary knows this, and so she plays her shot in the dark. But then, the impossible happens. Mary's shot in the dark works. She's suddenly safe, and both of those Mary votes against her become nullified.
This is what we've been waiting for since Caleb's shot in the dark play in Survivor 45.
But Mary's was, like, so much more impactful in the moment because it's such a small tribe that if your shot in the dark works, you are, like, fully changing the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane to watch. So we have to go to a revote between Justin, Say, and Cedric. We see Cedric, assuming that Justin has a vote, Cedric votes Say.
We see where his loyalties lie finally, because he's been sort of, you know, closely aligned with Say and closely aligned with Justin.
But then, because they tie a vote, they have to re-vote and are revealed that Justin doesn't have a vote.
It takes a good moment for Cedric and Say to realize that.
Yeah, it's like they aren't connecting the dots because they just trusted him. Mary's immune, and Say and Justin were part of the deadlock tie, so Cedric would just go.
He'd be the only person eligible to go to Rocks.
And you would assume that Cedric would think the same thing.
Right?
But then Cedric still votes Say and makes it another deadlock tie.
And so,
because there's only one person immune, they just get to choose who goes home. We now see Cedric, he's somehow safe, gets to make his final decision.
Is leaning towards saving Justin and ultimately sending Say home.
Right. It would make sense because he already tried to vote Say out twice.
Twice.
And it seemed like his loyalties were set. I think Say did the best that she possibly could in the moment. And I was going to mention that Justin didn't really try.
Yeah.
And it was like, it kind of felt like he was almost falling on his sword because he didn't. It felt like he was too tired in the moment to,
or
like,
or maybe he just assumed that because Cedric voted to save him twice, that ultimately he would save him again.
Right. And Say was going at it, like, trying everything she could.
An impassioned plea to
right.
Cedric.
And ultimately, Cedric decides that Say and Mary have to start getting along and work together if Cedric is going to save Say.
Like a dad in a Disney movie.
Right. He's going to turn this car around. And he ultimately decides that Justin, our Charlie Brown, cannot get anything to go his way. He is the third person voted out of this game. I remember saying last week, Mary and Say, it just seemed like it had to be one of them to go if they lost again. Like, there was no way that Cedric or Justin would go unless something crazy happened. And something crazy happened.
So kudos to the editors for really, like, pulling the wool over our eyes
with that. It was incredible to watch. And I think it's now time that we go on to our letter grades.
Okay, so let's start like we always do at the team that went to Tribal.
Yes.
Vula, what did you give our eliminated player today, Justin?
Justin was such a difficult decision. I gave him a B just because it was like, how do I even rank that? I feel like there was some bad things he did, but so many things that kind of felt like production interference in a way.
I gave Justin a B minus because, you know, he played, you know, the last two episodes optimally. He was really well positioned. And yeah, like we said, it was just very unlucky, all the things that happened to him. Yes, there were a few unforced errors that Justin made. Like, maybe he should have told Cedric that he lost his vote and that they could, you know, maybe make a plan according to that.
I want to know your thoughts on Cedric from this episode, because I have thoughts.
Cedric, you know, it's crazy. I gave Justin like a B minus. I'm going to give Cedric a C plus. Like, this was somehow he played worse than the person who got eliminated. I think, you know, he was very well positioned, just like Justin, if not better than Justin going into this episode. But what he does at that tribal is crazy.
He voted every single member of his tribe.
Within the first three episodes, he voted every member of his tribe ever. And within this episode, he voted every remaining member of his tribe.
This is probably, I think, the lowest rank I've given so far. I gave Cedric a D. Let's talk about Mary and Say. I gave Mary an A minus and Say a B minus. Because I think Say did a lot of good and a lot of bad in this episode. She was doing way too much that probably caused Cedric to go over the edge for a little bit of, like, she was, like, forcing them to get up and babysit Mary, and, like, she was being constantly paranoid and, like, falling for Mary's, like, tricks, which is why I gave Mary an A-, because she was on the bottom. She couldn't do anything. So the best she could do is just get them so paranoid that they, like, start falling over themselves, and that's what happened.
I gave Mary a B+. I think she played a really good kind of mind game on Say. She mm-hmm. did exactly what she had to. I gave Say an A- just because her name was put down twice by who she was considered to be, like, her number one.
Right.
And so I think the fact that she could argue to save her over Justin, it shows that she has good persuasion skills. And I think that could very much benefit her going into, you know, the merge.
I gave Chrissy a B- and David an A-. This episode, we just saw not a single moment with Chrissy.
Yeah, that's just not a good look for her game. I don't think she ever, you know, was getting a good edit, but this just cements her as, you right. know, low chance player. I gave her a B-. She didn't do anything wrong. She didn't do anything right.
Mm-hmm.
I gave David an A because he got a lot of good emotional content like I was talking about. And now, just like Kyle, he's got a very good place. He's very well insulated in the tribe with two different quartets vying to have them on their side.
Right. I think David had a lot. Like, this episode felt like his breakout moment almost. Like, he had a lot going for him, and it was very fun to watch.
When it comes to Kyle and Camilla, I gave them both A's. I gave Kyle an A, just like David, because he's well-positioned. Like I said, he's in the middle of those two groups of four. No, Camilla, like always, she's the player who I think has been the most consistent positively for me. So I'm really looking forward to seeing more Camilla in the game.
Absolutely, yeah. I've had Camilla at an A, and that consistently stays. Three A's in a row. She has her new extra vote. She has such a tight bond with Kyle, has a really good bond with David and Chrissy.
Next up, we've got our final pair, Charity and Mitch. I'll start with Charity. She's been slowly climbing up for me. First week, she was a C+. Then last week, she was a B-. For me this week, I gave her a B because now there's that potential alliance of four finally including her. And I think she's putting in the good work. She has consistently, you know, reinforced those bonds with Mitch. And now she could even be in alliance with Kyle and David.
I gave her a B. I think she's been slowly creeping up, doing better each episode. When she had a rough premiere, for Mitch, I also gave him a B. We see Mitch creating that alliance. He's doing well, but we don't see much of him. We just see him as his normal Mitch self.
Yeah, I mean, I gave him a little higher than last week. I gave him an A minus because he's showing that agency by going to talk to Kyle.
That's
he's
a
showing
good point.
Some strategic acumen and taking that into his own hands.
And we'll move on to our final tribe of the episode. We've got the Loggy tribe. So Bianca and Thomas, our favorite pair. I gave Bianca an A minus. We get to actually see more of her this episode, which was finally great to see. And she was doing pretty well. She lost her vote, but we can see she's creating these alliances. She's creating a lot of bonds. And then we see Thomas. He's like top of the tribe. I gave him another A plus. I very much enjoy Thomas.
My thoughts exactly. I gave Thomas an A plus. Everything you said, I agree with. I gave Bianca a B plus just because she lost her vote, but she's definitely got that alliance with Thomas. I gave Shaheen and Joe both A's. You know, their characters are still being well portrayed. And I think Shaheen is like just one step above Joe.
And I gave Joe a B plus. Because I think Joe had a little bit of a fumble. Like, we can see that they're setting up that, like, they're going to break up that bond between Eva and Joe. But yeah, I gave him a B plus and I gave Shaheen an A minus.
And finally, the feuding duo for Loggy, I gave Star an A minus because she's finally found her people. I gave Eva, her target, a B minus because, you know, now she's starting to get targeted. And, you know, people like Star who want her out are picking up steam with their movements against her.
Right. I am very similar opinions. I gave Eva a B minus as well. She's starting to stumble a little bit. She doesn't realize it, but like she's making these errors while talking to people, trying to be like strategic about it.
Yeah.
And Star, I gave a B plus. She's definitely like starting to shine a little bit more. She's a shining star.
Yes.
We'll see what happens in the swap. We have very little information of who's going where, but there are some pairs that I'm very interested to see the dynamics. I just want to see anyone interact with Say or Mary.
Exactly.
I really hope those two are on a tribe together because it would be so funny.
Golden.
But we'll have to end it here.
No more out yapping for today. That was all, and we hope to see you next episode.
Bye.